I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast number 556. Ain't nobody got time for time travel.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are joined today by a special guest, one of our nearest and dearest friends, Xenocore. Xeno, what's up?
How the hell y'all been?
Oh my god, it's been forever since we've talked to you.
Yep. Yeah, that work and life kind of kept me away. Had me nocturnal for the longest time, so... Ooh. When everybody else is podcasting and stuff, I was answering phones and slaving away for the corporate man. So,
gotta get that man. Dollar, man.
You do
dollar.
Mm-hmm. But recent changes have liberated me, so here I
Yay!
Am.
Freedom is nice.
Freedom lets you play games and read comic books and watch anime
or sleep.
That's nice. Oh, sleep. Sleep's good. If that's up there, if that's definitely in my top five things that I appreciate about freedom. Sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, it's going to be that kind of podcast. Okay. I am so excited to have you on with us. You know, anytime that you want to be on the Esh, just like holler, because we love being able to nerd out and geek out with you on a regular basis. So don't be a stranger. But we've got some game stuff to talk about today. We've got a bunch of anime stuff to talk about as well. I want to jump right in first and foremost to something that I have been extremely excited about. And I know, Panda, you're going to talk about it in depth. I'm going to touch on one game. And I'm going to touch on a couple of other games because it's
about... Are you talking about Destiny today? Because maybe
look,
you shouldn't.
No, look, here's the deal, okay? I'm going to try really, really hard, guys. Really hard, like so hard, not to talk about the D. That's my For the D challenge, is the Destiny. And it is to not talk about it. So what I'm going to do for the D.
That would be Destiny. Such a great parody of the D challenge where you're just like singing about Destiny 2 and not actual D. Like, that would be funny.
Considering how that challenge goes, it won't make a difference. Cause
that's true. I work hard for the D. Destiny. Actually.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the For the Dick Challenge, which is some of the most nonsensical things that I've ever seen upon the internet, okay, I know times are a little troubling right now, okay, and everybody needs a laugh. I'm all for that. But this was what we could come up with. I know it was a short run of time, but, like, this is the best we could come up with.
Hey, I think the For the D challenge was trying to combat the fact that How About It chick, How About That, Catch Me Outside, now is like a rapper.
No, she's not a rapper. She put some words on top of a beat to try and make some money. No.
I'm pretty sure somebody put the words on the beat for her. She said them, and then the maintenance team takes her down and does maintenance on her the second she gets off stage.
Maybe. Absolutely 100% sure that's what
they happened. They be tweaking that ankle bracelet. No.
Yeah, her rise to fame is definitely a Formula One level investment.
Oh man. Gosh. Seriously.
I don't profess
to
understand.
They do quick pit stops to get her back on stage.
I just,
But I'm thinking that everything is just going down the tubes, and the fact that, like, she's got three songs on YouTube now, and I've only watched one unironically just because. But the other two are just...
I mean, you gotta know your enemy, but still, like, you don't support, no.
I don't, but I'm like, no. Really? I can mumble rap, too. Like, I mumble all the time. Just put some auto-tune on me, give me a weird topic. I can deadpan at a camera for, like, 4 minutes straight. It's weird.
I just don't understand, since we're on this topic, I just don't understand why you are not rapping about Sailor Moon. Like, as knowledgeable as you are, like, I just don't understand, like...
Because I have a big mutual respect for the medium.
And, one second. Stephen Colbert is to the Sarah Million as Ninja is to Sailor Moon. I can just throw her lines and she'll fill in when they were said and things of that nature.
God. Panda's got you. Panda's got you.
Oh, okay. Like, it's good to know I have a resource like that. Okay.
Yeah, like that is the almanac of Senshi over
here,
there.
Here, what? One, sis, I love you and appreciate you, and I love that you want to rise me up, but I mean, like, my love for the SM, Sailor Moon, just for clarification there.
Adjust your glasses.
It's like a little nugget, like a little diamond nugget that I keep buried in my heart, and I only let it shine every once in a while when someone says something wrong. So, like, I'm not here to boast and brag about it because it's just unique to my soul. So, like, I don't want to rap about it because, one, I don't want to tarnish it because it's pristine on its pedestal, locked away in the Duck McMansion vault, like, just sitting there. So, like, let's let it live its natural, pure life without autotune and mumble rap tainting it.
Yeah. Actually, Sailor Moon has... come back to that when we start talking about games, too. I got something I'd like to drive your way, Panda.
Oh, gosh. All right. Sure.
But yeah.
Let's get to it.
So my For the D challenge is to not talk about Destiny. So that's my goal for this episode. Mostly because I haven't jumped into anything new.
Okay.
In there. See, I'm not saying the word. In there. I'm still on the grind. So I'm
just
grinding. So I don't have anything new. They have new stuff. But if anything, at the end of this episode, I'm just going to talk about the new stuff that went live this week.
And, all right.
But I still haven't touched it.
It's all right. You don't have to.
That's it. That's all I'm going to do.
But so then what are you starting us off with then?
So I'm going to start us off with the coming broke bitch holiday. Just to recap and review some things that are coming this way. Because I started looking at the schedule and I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to afford the beans in my rice this holiday season.
So then you just have to decide, are you eating rice or are you eating beans?
Time to tap into that 401k.
Oh, man. I might have to borrow against it because it's a baby 401k at this point. And man, oh, man. So, you know, Cuphead is out. I know that you're talking about it. I have downloaded the game. I have not started it. But pretty much every show that I went to last summer that had a playable demo of that game, I was on it for as long as they would let me stay there. So I'm excruciatingly excited to actually jump in and play some this week. I know that you've played some. You're going to be talking about it later. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about
man.
The game. Because I know that you and I have different feelings about Bullet Hell. That's going to be exciting. Right around the corner, we've got Fractured Butthole. You've got the Assassin's game, which every time I look at it, Origins just looks more and more gorgeous. And is almost convinced me that I really do need to get a 4K TV to upgrade my life, which of course will make my husband very happy because he will inherit the 60-inch that is currently in my living room if that happens. So he's thrilled to get a new monitor that'll be mounted to the wall.
Monitor? Okay, both of y'all making way too much money then.
Don't look at me.
I'm rocking my 24.
It's called payment plan.
I was about to say you meant those two because I mean.
Oh wait! I forgot they're dicks. Double income, no kids.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah, hashtag truth.
Actually, so I mean, I guess in that regard, so are me and my husband because we have two incomes and we have no kids.
Yeah,
so
you
we're
can
dicks
climb
too.
The ladder too. Congratulations,
yes,
bud.
Thank you. It was a long time coming, and that fight was totally. Like, I wish I didn't have to fight. Like, here are my skills. I'm worth more money. Pay me more money. Then you don't have to hear me bitch and, like, write a really eloquent, you know, compromise letter, counter letter that, like, man, like, there were bullet points in it. It was scented. I sent it to, like, 8 people. I was like, I'm not fucking around.
Oh, my God. You are hysterical. I have decided, like, from now on, moving forward, all of my negotiations for promotions and salaries is just going to be 40 acres and a mule. Like, that's going to be my counter.
Man.
Like, can you? No? But, okay, well, then what are you going to do?
Maybe I should hire, Miss Panda as a negotiator for me. I should have used
I wasn't going to at first. Like, I was going to let it lie. And I was like, you know what? I am worth more than that. And here's why. Bam, 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 bam. Bam. And then, like, they made me wait a solid week. And I'm like, if you were making me wait for, like, no money more, I'm going to be even more mad than I already am. And, like, sure enough, when I got it, I was like, all right. Like, good. You guys were just talking about how we're going to make this work, but we can make this work for her. Okay, good. Now I'm going to blow up in this promotion. They're like, now you got to give me more than 1 minion because I get one now. And I've had to have talks with my boss. I'm like, I've never had a minion before. She's like, the force to switch over to the dark side and be an asshole is going to be really strong your first 3 weeks, let me tell you. But you made it really easy because you're approachable and friendly, so I didn't want to be mean to you. So just, you know, be nice. Don't be an asshole. And I'm like, I don't...
Lording over minions is the shit.
I only get one, but, like, I've never had one before. It's like a kid getting a puppy. It's like, what do I do with it? Do I flush it down the toilet or do I pet it? Like, I don't know which is the right call.
Gonna start flashing back to some Adult Swim and be like, Avenger, get Birdman coffee. You can do it.
Yes, don't abuse the coffee run. Okay.
No, I think it's gonna be a matter of good idea, bad idea.
Yeah, you gotta do good idea, bad idea. That's a good way to go into it. That's a good actually a good way to go into
it. I might have to do that. But that's what it's gonna be like. But thank you very much. I'm very happy about the new venture, actually.
Yeah,
it's a good being seen as an adult. That's the big thing. I'm like, holy shit. People think I'm an adult. And I do things.
You know.
It's one of those.
It kind of goes along like hand in hand. You get the Mary, then you get the job, you get the promotion, then you get the responsibility, then you get the minions, and then you're like, oh, shit.
Shit. Now I'm responsible for people.
But really, back to the game stuff. This holiday is a ridiculous one for spending money. Apple came out with their 4K Apple TV, which, again, I'm sitting here going, I don't have a 4K TV. I have a really nice LED TV that I got super cheap during a Black Friday sale, literally while we were having Thanksgiving dinner on Amazon a couple of years ago, almost 4 years ago now.
Damn. But
the technology is moving forward so much that I stream all of my entertainment at home. I don't have terrestrial cable. I pay for ridiculous bandwidth on Fios instead. Because I back up all my machines over the web. I stream all of the things that I watch. If I'm not buying seasons of TV shows in iTunes because there simply isn't an app that I can stream them in, like I love Comic Book Men on AMC, and AMC doesn't have an app, so I buy the seasons on iTunes because I absolutely love Kevin Smith and that whole crew and I learned so much about comic books that I don't really know about or wasn't exposed to as a kid when I watched the show. So I enjoy the show. I stream Hulu. I stream Netflix. I stream Crunchyroll. I stream Funimation. I stream HBO. I stream Broadway HD. I stream all of my entertainment. And I watch a shit ton of YouTubers now. Having content that's available in 4K and having a TV that could actually show it would be nice because I don't buy Blu-rays anymore, not even collector's editions. I get everything digitally and then I transfer things to my devices for when I travel. I have really cut the cord. I'm kind of in this space where my TV's 4 years old. The technology has really moved forward. The Xbox One X, which I'm not getting day one because I don't gotta like that, Xeno. So until, like, I sell this S that I have, it's not in the realm of possibility, but I don't have a TV that can take advantage of it. So I keep coming back to, I gotta get a TV. I gotta move into the 4K space because unlike the 3D space and the OLED thing, which I don't think that we're really ready for yet, 4K is not gonna go away. It's here to stay, and so I gotta be ready for it. And my game space is where I need to start with that, and it starts with the TV. So that's a big ticket purchase that I'm looking to try and make for Christmas as the gift to myself, and really the gift to my husband, because he gets the 60-inch TV that is currently in my living room, and he's already picked out the spot in the wall where he wants to mount it to use it as his monitor for his computer. And I can't really argue with that.
No, you can't.
There's nothing wrong with the TV.
But sis, you're like the Oprah of our family, because like if something, when something new happens, like tech-wise, and you get it, like all someone has to do is look underneath their seat, and up there's the pass out.
Yeah, somebody's probably gonna get my current Apple TV when I do finally make the move to the 4K one.
Like, so I mean, you're spreading the advancement a little bit. Like, I'm never mad when you get something new, because then I essentially get something new.
And it's new to you.
It's new to me. Like, I got my new phone that I love. And like, so I mean, it's
you've got
fine.
Some Astros.
Exactly.
You still have an iPad mini.
Oh my God. And I mean, and it's not dead. Like, I still have it, but I'm like, I think I need a new one. So, like, I'm waiting for you to get, like, a new iPad Pro, because then I'm eyeing your old one already. Like, I got my eyes. They're open.
It's like barely a year old.
I know, but that's kind of the way you operate. So, I'm like, if I wait long enough, I don't have to pay for it.
This is true.
So I mean, I think it's okay that your husband get your 60-inch. Like, we got one in my house in our living room, and I have my little 27-inch in the study, which is where I play my Destiny on the DL, because I didn't tell my husband I bought it. So I tell him, right? I didn't. And I was like, I have to go write some articles.
You didn't tell me. You bought it.
I didn't tell nobody.
Wait, where's my bill? Shame.
But I'm like,
shame it. It's a fun little thing.
I have to write some articles. I'll be out of the office in like an hour. Don't bother me. and he don't come in here. So like, he'll never catch me in my little lie until I'm ready to be like, bam, here I'm at. I think it's okay that your husband get your TV.
For a lot of people, this holiday is going to be filled with getting, you know, better 4K TVs, or getting their first one that actually supports high dynamic range color. Because that's really important, that if you're going to move to 4K, that you have a TV that actually can display all of the gorgeous color. Otherwise, you're not really going to see a difference between if you have an LED HD TV now and a 4K TV that doesn't do the high dynamic range stuff. You're not really going to see much of a difference, and so you won't feel like you got your money's worth. So make sure, if you're getting ready to do the move, that you do some research, that you are opting for a screen that can do HDR, especially if you're going to be streaming a lot of content or playing a lot of content that really requires HDR to show it off. The thing that really sold me was when I was out at PAX West, I had been playing the Uncharted Lost Legacy game, and I've mentioned this before, but Sony actually had a bunch of their 4K TVs out running the 4K version of it. And at the point that I was there, I was probably at the midpoint of the game, and I was looking at a level that I had already played on my TV at home, and it did not look like it was the same game. It really didn't. It was a dramatic difference in what the greenery looked like, the color of clothes, shading, lighting, you know, all kinds of things that, especially in an action game, you take for granted. And it looked very much different. And then I played Moss, which almost sold me on VR. I'm still not sold on PSVR, but Moss is very close to selling me.
I'm glad one of us can do VR, because we certainly know I can't.
Well, again, you can't stand and do VR. You can't stand and do VR.
Nope, not unless I want to upchuck.
Right. That's just not the place for you to be.
It's not. I need to be in a comfortable sitting position.
Yes.
Amanda, yes. Has your Mecha's gyro been hit?
I think so, because, like, I can't. And it was really sad, because I was at B-Fig the other weekend, and there were several VR games. I was like, man, I'd love to be a hamster in a cage. And it's like, it's VR. I'm like, nope, can't touch it. Sorry.
Yeah. I finally gave it a shot, like, about 2-3 months ago. A friend of mine had a setup in a store. And it's surprising how quickly you can lose your equilibrium to the real environment once you're looking inside the helmet, because... Was it the lab where, you know, I think it was the archery game I'm leaning over trying to get shots, not realizing how far I'm leaning over, even though I'm on my own feet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that angle just messes with you just enough where you go just over your balance point, just a little bit, you know. Yeah, like, luckily, I didn't fall. But
I could never be an astronaut or like a space pirate. Star Wars is not for me. Can't get me in a TIE fighter because, like, I will just throw up all over the comms and that'd be the end of me. Sorry.
It's just in your mask. There's no oxygen inside there. So you're just in your spacesuit. So you'll be fine.
Oh.
It'll just be messy in your mouthpiece.
Great.
From somebody who's had to use the breathing apparatus for real. Ooh, yeah, you just blow your mask. That's all.
Oh, right. Oh. Man, because like it was too intense.
As pleasant as that may sound.
So what else is going to make all of us broke bitches? Because I mean,
okay, so
I can avoid a 4K TV, so I'm like, I'm still saving my money.
Like, I have been squirreling away some pennies for the last couple months. I'm going to be dogging Black Friday sales like crazy. Because, you know, there are some TVs that are on the market that are not necessarily break the bank price points. For, you know, a 55 or a 60. LG, Samsung, as well as Westinghouse, which I'm not a big fan of. I'm pretty much in camp LG. They have some 55 and 60-inch HDR 4K TVs in the sub-750 area. So I expect that those TVs will come down into the sub-700 area around Black Friday. So, you know, when you're now talking $600. Well, that's feasible for a new TV. So that's my target range. But if I was doing a TV and an Xbox One X, you know, or a PS4 Pro at the same time, you know, you're now back in that $1,000 range very quickly.
So, I mean, it sounds like broke bitch month is really more hardware, you know, advancing hardware as opposed to, like, software breaking your bank.
Well, there's software coming, too. I mean, it just depends on what you enjoy. You know, I will be picking up Fractured Butthole.
Sorry.
I am not picking up Forza 7 Motorsport, but
it... Did you ever play the other Forza that you have? I highly doubt it. So why buy one Forza when you still haven't opened the previous Forza? No Forza for you.
I have a Forza that I haven't opened because it's signed by all the developers. So that Forza's never going to get opened.
Right.
Ever. Because that's not going to happen. Okay. Now, the other Forza, I had downloaded it onto my Xbox. I just hadn't played it. And that Forza was given to me. I didn't buy it.
All right. But I'm just saying, you have a Forza Forza. Rude
to at least not download it.
It's rude not to at least press play once.
I loaded the menu. That counts, right?
No.
You got all the way to the menu.
You were like, and I'm done.
I was like, oh, that car's pretty. And then I was like, oh, anime. So, or Korean drama. I don't know. One of the two took me out of it.
It's probably both of them, if you're honest.
Look, I have not been into racing games really since Gran Turismo 3.
Well, then people need to stop giving you racing games. I mean, my last racing game was Mario Kart.
I'm not
going to
be forcing them out. I'm just saying, they're not for me anymore. Because I really enjoy a racing game when I can use a stick, a steering wheel. And I just don't have a setup for a steering wheel
right now.
I don't enjoy doing a racing game with a D-pad controller, even with analog sticks.
I just feel like the age of racing games has, like, kind of died. Now where everyone's kind of like, you know what? I could drive, or I could Uber, or Lyft. Like, there needs to be a game about, you know, like, managing Uber and Lyft drivers, because,
they
like...
They need to bring Uber and Lyft driving into Sims.
And then self-driving cars, and then eventually cars will become obsolete in the medium. Like,
no,
it's coming.
I think racing games have a place. You know, probably the last non-Gran Turismo racing game that I really enjoyed was Project Gotham Racing.
I need another cruising game. I want to cruise the USA now. Like, a new Cruising USA. USAs. So now, instead of bugs hitting your windshield, it's millennials. Like, I'd be down for that.
Cruising USA? I would probably play that game, too. I don't have anything against racing games, and I think that they have their place, and I think that there's a lot of cars that just, in my life, I'll never be able to touch, and racing games are the closest thing that I will be able to ever get close to McLaren, or any Bugatti that you can think of. Like, So I don't have anything against them. I just prefer to play with a steering wheel set up in pedals, and I don't have one. So therefore, racing games just are not a draw for me right now. If that changes, I'll probably be back on that shit, and you won't be able to keep me out of motorsport. And that's a game that looks absolutely fucking amazeballs in 4K as well. So, you know, I don't have anything against them, but you've got the Forza game, you've got Cuphead, you've got Fractured Butthole, you've got Odyssey coming around the corner, you've got Assassin's Creed Origin, you've got,
You're not thinking about the Rabids and the Mario.
No. I look.
I'm not crazy about the Rabbids, but my husband's like really kind of weirdly into this Mario Rabbids thing because he keeps sending me clips hoping I'll be like, yeah, buy it. But that's not coming out of my mouth anytime soon, let me tell you. So look,
I don't want to shit on anybody that enjoys.
No, if Mario that's your Rabbids. If that's your genre, let that be your right. genre. But
that's not my genre. And so I wasn't really excited about it when it was announced at E3, but hey, it was announced, and there are a lot of people that really do enjoy it. I've watched some friends play it, I've watched some YouTubers play it, and, you know, it definitely has some good comedy moments, but it's not a Mario property that, you know, I'm down for. Of course, I've explained multiple times that I'm not necessarily down for a bunch of Mario properties. Like, Odyssey would not sell me on buying a Switch if I didn't already have a Switch.
Right, I was about to say, I'm like, you got one, so...
Right. And I still don't know that I'm going to get Odyssey, to be honest with you.
You still need to beat Zelda. So
yeah.
Mario died for me a while back, too. I think since 64, I really haven't really touched it at all.
You're not missing anything.
I tried to get into Galaxy, the first Galaxy, and I couldn't. I love Rosalina from Galaxy 2. I think that's a great character. But I could not get into it.
It's not bad. I like Galaxy and Galaxy 2. Sunshine.
No, there's nothing to redeem Sunshine, so we can just move on.
You hush.
I just didn't like how they made Mario a bad guy. Like, you made this mess. Actually, I didn't. But we're blaming you for it, so go clean it up. I mean, people are still losing their minds that Mario's not a plumber anymore. Granted, he hasn't been one for a while now, so...
Well, they're just treating him like an immigrant. What are you talking about?
I just slow clap at that one, because that was well played, sir. I mean, from the titles that you just mentioned, I mean, only a couple of those are like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to get on that train. Like, obviously Cuphead, which I'll talk about
later. Well, I mean, I didn't mention the sports games, because I don't play the sports games, but...
But Fractured Butthole, also another one that I know I'm on board for. So, I mean, I guess it just kind of depends on the demographic of games that you like to play will kind of determine how much out of pocket you're going to be.
Right, because, I mean, I haven't gone into the Persona games, obviously.
Nah.
The Danganronpa game.
I know, yeah. Now, see? Now you're talking to me. Now you're talking to me.
I'll just say, there's a lot of...
I know,
AAA,
but Danganronpa 3 has a
AA,
fucking robot!
Indie. There's a ton of games coming out this holiday season that if you play PC and console and you like everything from action to puzzler...
Oh, man.
You'll be broke.
And Umi Neko's answer arcs are finally in testing. They're finally coming! Finally!
I mean, but how do you feel about it?
I mean, whatever, cool.
Don't
no, like, I'm fucking stoked. This could be a full week where all of our fans are just going to listen to me talk about the answer arcs when it comes out, when I get it, because that will be my life.
Right. There's Star Wars games, like, there's a shit ton of content coming, and my wallet is not ready, so...
I don't think our wallets are ever ready for broke bitch month.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, last holiday wasn't really heavy.
No,
And even with a bunch of games that, you know, Microsoft was originally slated to bring to holiday and then backed out of and didn't,
like,
and really their big releases were... Forza and Cuphead versus some of the other things that were supposed to happen. You know, there's still a shit ton of things dropping this holiday, and like it's gonna hurt the wallet. Be prepared, cause ouchies. That's all
get
I'm saying.
Get the band-aids ready. Get the ace bandages ready.
I mean, You should probably start driving for Uber on the weekends. That's what I'm going to
do. I have half thought about it, but I'm like, my car smells like bad tacos. Like, not even,
That's not good.
It's not. And I haven't, if I can't pay to get my car cleaned, I definitely can't pay to be an, I can't be an Uber driver. So, like, baby steps first. But I did think I need to have a side hustle, like, yesterday, probably.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a side hustle.
No! It gets shit done.
I'm just going to put back into your radar, Panda, just in case it fell off. Evil Within 2.
You don't need to talk to me about it.
Okay, I just...
I have some weird thoughts about it moving forward. Like, I definitely am going to get it, and I'm definitely going to play through it. One, I think Hamster Man is going to beat me to it. Two, from the few trailers that I've seen of it, and the new established antagonists that they're kind of showing, I don't know how I'm feeling about it, because, like, one, I'm always about seeing, you know, POCs in games and strong roles, but, like, they're really quick to make POCs bad guys a lot.
No.
Right? Like,
No, you don't say.
I know, right? And the Oscars aren't political or rigged. Anyway.
Water also not wet.
Not wet. But I'm just like, oh, they're kind of rehashing this element, and I don't want to be Castellanos going back into STEM and, like, taking out the bad guy. Like, I kind of want the black guy to win. Like, okay, we're going to play this game now, because...
So basically, you're like in the Issa Rae kind of moment where you're rooting for all the black people to win.
Like, I'm kind of in this weird headset where I'm like, you know, headspace where I'm just like, you know, if I don't play it, in my mind, he gets to win. Because as soon as I load it up, and I mean, like I said, I'm going to play it, eventually I will be ending the demise of a rich, successful black guy who, you know, had a good idea, and then it took a left instead of a right. And you know what? Everyone deserves, like, a chance to, like, live their dream, right? Even though his is, like, world domination. But hey... Who am I to judge? Hey,
it's supposed to be life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And happiness is different for different people.
I mean, I say all this now, but then I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to be like, okay.
You're probably going to love it.
I'm going to be like, all right, he clearly got a little too crazy with his happiness. And I got to shut this down. Because he's not exactly right anymore. And I'll have to understand his... Like, I will appreciate his why. Because I've talked about the whole concept of, you know, the bad guys having their why. And I'm like, yeah. I know I will appreciate his why when I get there. But I think for a little while, I'm just going to not play it to allow him to have his, like, mini victory before I come in and clean house. Because we know that that's what I do. So, but it's on my radar. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it.
Speaking of things that you're going to play and that you have played, you got to talk about Cuphead.
Cause yes, I do.
I downloaded it. I have not been able to play it yet because life, but...
I mean, I'm not very far in it, but, like, I did experience it. I have my notes. I want to kind of talk about it briefly because then clearly we have our guest here and, like, he needs the soapbox.
I'm letting him close the show because he's the heavy hitter.
But Cuphead's a big story, so you need to go with that one, right?
So here's my feeling so far, because I was torn between Fractured Butthole and Cuphead, and, you know, Sis was like, make a decision, and I was like, okay, fine, and I flipped a coin, and that's what made me decide which one we were going to get. I mean, there's been so many talks about this game. Everyone has been all about it. I mean, I'm really big into narratives and art. And Cuphead clearly has both of those in fucking spades. Mm. You're staring at a Max Fleischmann, like, reimagining. And you feel like you're watching a cartoon. And I mean, even with the title, which is Cuphead, Don't Deal with the Devil, like, it sets itself up like a cartoon. Like, you hear the story about Cuphead and his,
Mugman.
And his brother, yeah, Mugman, they were told never to go to, like, the city because, like, there's a bad side of the tracks. And if you cross the bad side of the tracks, like, bad things will happen. And, of course, kids are going to be kids, boys are going to be boys, and they cross over and they find a casino. I mean, granted, I'm surprised the casino would let the kids in without any parents, but, I mean, this is a totally different, like, time. Like, it's the 1930s, so I'm sure things were a little loose.
Vegas.
It's a little swingy, a little Lucius, like, whatever. And they go into this casino, and they're winning, and they're winning, and they're winning. So, of course, you know, the dopamine's flying. They think that they're untouchable. Granted, they're also kids, and kids think they're invulnerable. And, like, immortal and they think nothing bad can happen to them. And sure enough, the devil shows up and he's all like, hey, use my dice. And if you win this, I will give you all my riches in this casino. But if you lose, like, all I want is your soul. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. And Cuphead, being an idiot, is like, hell yeah. And Mugman's like, fuck no. Can we, like, stop for a minute? Like, let's huddle in this corner and talk about what
that's all that's happening right now. Can we do that?
Like, I feel like it's a definite Ninja Panda situation where I'm like, I'm gonna do it. And you're like, bitch, no. And I do it anyway. Like, that's what kind of happens. And sure enough, they get snake eyes. And the devil's like, all right, give me them souls. And Cuphead's like, look, I didn't understand the rules. I thought we're gonna get more rolls. Like, he's trying to get out of this really bad choice. Read
the terms of service for
very
detail,
much like me.
And
he didn't read for comprehension. He's very much like Ariel from Disney. She just signed and thought things were gonna be chill, and then they weren't chill at all. And Cupman Cuphead and Mugman are just like, please, we don't want to do this. Is there anything we can do instead? And the devil's like, look, you guys aren't the only people who owe me souls, okay? So, like, there's a bunch of debtors in this fucking town. And, like, if you can get me their souls, maybe I won't take your souls. So that's, like, the premise of the game. So you are running around this world.
Hunters for souls.
For souls. And that's what you're doing. And of course, like, you go back to your house and, like, the wise kettle guy is like, I told you guys not to go to the wrong side of the tracks. And now look, I can't not kind of help you. So you can, like, come here and, like, hang out. But, like, you really got to get out there and get those contracts because the devil's only giving you till midnight to get all these souls. So you're like, these are kids who are usually in bed by 7. Like, if these were actual kids, like, might as well just take the souls now. They won't get this shit done. But, long story short, in terms of mechanics and stuff, this is kind of like a run and gun. I know people are kind of attributing it to a bullet hell, but I don't feel
that. Yeah,
these
people have not played games. This is Contra, straight up.
Yes. Exactly.
Contra. Straight up Contra.
But yeah, like,
they don't know their history, man.
They don't.
Every time I say that it's a bullet hell, it's like, you guys don't know what a bullet hell is.
Well, how do we reach these keys?
Well, like, there are some elements that I could definitely see, like, for younger gamer generations who have played games that have this kind of feeling to them, so that's what they think that they are, but it's not. Even at the beginning, the first few rounds that I played with my husband, I'm like, I'm not really good at this, and I know I'm not good at bullet hell, so I think I'm just attributing my negative reaction to it to another game that feels similar but isn't exact, because I didn't play Contra until way later in my gaming life. That's where I kind of sit in this weird older millennial career of games, or like lifehood of games. But it is run and gun. It's brutal at the beginning, but so is Contra. Like, there's no hand-holding. They're not going to run. Like, the tutorial is a very simple, you know, you walk through the page to know how to move, but you don't know how those movements are going to translate once you're actually navigating the world. You know, and, like, they don't give you a warm-up. You don't feel secure, which I think that's kind of part of the thing. Because, one, you were kids in a really horrible situation, now having to kind of grow the fuck up. Because otherwise, your end is coming.
You lose your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, that's what spankings are for.
So, and I think that's what the whole element is. Like, they don't want the player to feel like they have a lot of control. Because until you're out there, you don't know what you're coming up against. And you don't know how the antagonist or the bosses in each of the levels is going to react to you showing up. There is a part that kind of pulls you out of the scenario because, yes, they give the player this narrative, you know, these are all debtors that, you know, owe their souls to the devil and whatnot. But, you know, when you're in the world and you're running and you're gunning and you're avoiding and you're evading and you're dashing, when you finally get to, like, the head boss at the end of the run, like, there's no dialogue, like, there's no, you know, I'm here for your soul because you owe it to the devil. Oh, well, F you, let's fight. Like, there's none of that. You just go straight into this fight. You know, and if you're on the outside looking in, like, you just kind of look like a bunch of hooligans, little mini muscle for the devil. So, like, you kind of have to keep reminding yourself that, you know, you're doing this because, one, they owe the devil, and two, you're trying to get out of your own deal. So, like, you got that kind of going on. So there's a level-up mechanic that Cuphead and Mugman do have, where you can level up the type of projectiles that they will shoot, the supers that they get, and passive abilities that may help you retain your life longer, but at a cost of, like, your bullets now being weaker, or your dash ability might be quicker, and you might be invulnerable for your dash period. There are parries in this game also, which I am horrible at. Do not ask me to parry nothing, because I can't do it. I just can't.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, you got to own your own.
I mean, and it's essentially like a double jump kind of thing, and you can only parry things that are pink in the game. So it's like, okay, if it's pink, you can parry, but if you're not in the, at the right height when the thing comes through, then clearly you won't properly parry it, and it will hurt you. You only get so many supers in the run level. I think you build up to 5, but proper parries will restore your supers faster so that you could possibly reuse them more. But man, it's high energy. The audio alone, like out of nowhere, I'm like, oh my god, like it's so weirdly up my level for the 1930s, even though I didn't come into existence until about 54 years later. But I'm like, oh man, like it kind of gives me like a speakeasy feel. The Sign of the Times, it's such a passion piece. Like you can feel all the effort that got put in this thing. And for once, I finally got to ask the really dumb question that I asked my husband, because he used to work in games, if you guys didn't know. I'd always ask this really dumb question about games, about, oh, did somebody draw that? To which he, like, wants to bash his head at the wall and, like, blow up the house and flip all the tables. Because clearly I don't understand that it's so much more than just someone drawing it and someone making it move. Like, there's so much more to making games, especially now. But as I'm sitting there playing this, you know, Cuphead with him, I'm like, I want to ask a dumb question. And he's like, it's actually not a dumb question in this case, because someone did. Someone actually drew this. And I was like, oh my god.
That's one of the, I think, the biggest appreciations that I have for the game. Even if the genre wasn't up my alley, I would still have bought the game. Because, you know, as you mentioned, it is a huge passion project. Because every single frame of this game was hand-drawn.
Like, oh my gosh.
Part of the reason why it was delayed, because they went back to add some more levels and to tighten some things up. And it was all hand drawn.
You're so appreciative to it also. I mean, I think the feeling I get from watching Cuphead, because I mean, I've only played through the first 2 to 3 levels before we got to the store. Because like I said, my brain was turning to mush. But my husband has made so much more progress, which totally just, because he played Contra. So I'm like, yeah, you're far more suited to this. And I'm just dragging you down, man. Like, I understand that either I'm here to take hits for you, or like, get out of the way. Like, meat shield right here. Kind of deal. But I think the nostalgia from this, because I mean, granted, like, we grew up with some of these Disney cartoons, and even though, you know, Max Fleischman, you know, this style was not necessarily titular to Disney at the time, but like, it was definitely stuff that we saw in like proto Disney back then. And knowing that it was hand drawn, like, Game of the Warm and Tingly is the way that when they did the Princess and the Frog movie, they went back to hand drawn animation for that movie. I appreciated that aspect when they did that, because all the other Disney princesses, that was the thing. And I didn't want Tiana to be the first Disney princess who was completely different and like not get the same treatment and validation. So I like appreciated that they went back. So I feel like there's just a strong homage and a strong sense of purity from this game. And like, I'm looking forward to jumping back into it with my husband. And I was taking out all these debtors. And I mean, I have a sneaking suspicion that clearly by the time we get all the contracts to the devil, that he's still going to want our souls, because we've proven that we're like super capable kids and we're going to have to fight the devil. And it's going to be like an asshat of a battle, but whatever. I'm ready for that twist, because it's not really a twist. I can see it from a mile away. But, you know,
because it's the devil.
It's the devil. He ain't going to be honest. Show me your tax papers, devil. Show them to me. Show me your emails. I want to see those too. But anyway, so Cuphead is available on Xbox One, and it's also available on your computers. We are playing it on Steam personally. And I mean, I feel like this is going to take off a lot. Because very much in that Dark Souls feel, there's no handholding, there's no coddling here. Either you perform or you don't. And you're doomed to repeat it until you figure out what the pattern is and you figure out how you navigate these encounters. And I, with the title alone, I feel like when this skyrockets, and like I said, I definitely feel like it will, I feel we're going to get Cuphead and, you know, he's going to encounter somebody else. I mean, granted, I mean, I think they kind of blew their load with the devil at first. Because, I mean, who do you fight after the devil? Like, he's usually the end guy. He's not usually your first guy. So, I mean, like, I'd love to see other variations of this game, like Cuphead and, like, another encounter with, like, maybe Poseidon, where he does stuff on boats, or, like, Space, where he fights, like, a space demon Cthulhu, or what, I don't know. But, I mean, I think the animation style lends for a lot of trippy, subversive experiences and surrealism. So, like, they have an endless amount of places they could go. So, like, what a great first step. And, oh, if you're someone who gets rage mad really quickly, I would suggest, like, making sure you're in a comfy spot on your couch. Like, if you have kids, they're already in bed. Because, like, I've had my dog accidentally step on my foot when we were first playing, and I almost punted her across the fucking floor. Because I was already upset, and she just didn't help the situation, and I was going to remove any outside disturbances, i.e. my dog, via my foot, out of anger. So, like, do not be around things that can break. Don't let other things mess you up when you're in the zone. Take your time. Appreciate the game. Appreciate what it's doing. And have fun.
So I have a question. I have a question for you about the game. Because for a lot of people that are gaming today, they don't recall or have not had an experience where they've played a game where you do die a lot in the
process. Oh my god.
You know, I think that there's, you know, a big chunk of gamers who are very used to a complete tutorial level where you learn to identify all your hiding spots, you learn to really understand all the weapons that are probably going to be given to you over the course of a game and its levels, and you learn the core movements that you'll need to get through the rest of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you think of, like, an Uncharted, the first level in any Uncharted,
it's literally learning about your kung fu grip, learning how to stealth, practicing your stealth and your kung fu grip. Now you get your grappling hook, so you have to learn how to use that, even though you don't use it until, like, the third half of the game. They expose you to everything you're gonna do in your tutorial.
I don't
know
how you have a third half of a thing, but yes, that. And
math is good.
Those levels are anywhere between a 10 and 20 minute experience, depending upon how fast you or slow you get through it. And so to have a game that completely walks away from that, which is your known experience, like the majority of games that you've played your life have had a introductory level.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like for you personally to have a game that was completely 100% the opposite of that? Like, you will die a lot in the process of learning.
Like, I really feel like they should just have, like, in the opening thing, like, when it's flashing Cuphead and it's cute, you know, yellow background, like, there should be, like, a flashing red thing, like, expect death. Like, and just, you know, get that out of the way. Because if you think you're gonna flawlessly get through a level, you are sadly mistaken. Mistakes are going to happen the whole time. So yes, I did come up with, you know, games handholding me. And like, and I would get annoyed with that because I'm like, I think I kind of get it at this point as an adult. And I mean, I think that's why in my older gaming life, you know, I started venturing towards games like Demon's Souls, where I was expecting that tutorial level. And then, oh no, here's the beginning area. You need to figure out how your place in this world and how you can interact with things, how minuscule you are in the grand scheme of it all. Like, nihilism at its best. I loved Demon's Souls. Like, you can go back into our eschlogs and listen to me talk extensively about every little thing that I did in those games and how many times
Preach, sister.
And I would manipulate the world and make it harder for myself because that's where I found the most enjoyment, was figuring it out. So, I mean, if you were like me, who wanted to get away from being handheld and to see how much I've actually absorbed as a gamer, you know, you jumped into the, you know, Demon's Souls and the Dark Souls and the Bloodborne, which I still need to go back to, but I digress. I already kind of have it in my headspace walking into this especially when they do give you the tutorial, because you do go through a book where they teach you your core mechanics, like what you can do. But like I said, there are no bad guys in the tutorial, so you can see how far your projectiles go. You don't realize what parries do in that tutorial. You just know that you can do them, you know, and they still don't even talk about it once you're out on the game map. So, you know, I'm already kind of prepared. I was already kind of prepared walking into it that this was not going to be a cakewalk at all. And sure enough, you know, they psych you up, like they get all the bright colors in front of your face and they're flashing the whole, this is going to be a hot battle, and Wallop just flashes on your, and then it's just pandemonium from there, because you're like, I don't know what my projectiles are hitting. I can't tell that, you know, when I hit this thing over here, it flashes for like a brief second, and I don't know how much damage I'm doing. I'm not able to min-max, and I'm at the disposal of my own skill set at that stage, which is completely like a pupa. It is like the littlest wormy thing on the ground. And, you know, you slowly feel your progress as you go. Like I said, I did kind of get a little angry at my dog. And, like, I was ready to, like, physically assault her because she encroached on me when I'm trying to learn this thing. But I appreciate that. I strongly do. It's a good challenge for me. And, I mean, like you said, I did come up in the area where they handheld me the whole time. And I'm looking for that nuance in my games where they're like, okay, We're presumably talking to adults here, maybe. I mean, granted, there's probably a whole bunch of young kids who are playing this game and have no idea who Cuphead is at all. And I'm probably sure I'm going to run into an article where someone's going to be like, well, Cuphead's pretty much Mickey, and, you know, Mug Boy is essentially Oswald, and I'm going to, like, want to set it on fire and gouge their eyes out, because clearly they're not, you know, paying attention. But I really do appreciate the challenge and the ability to grow. And when I jump into this game and I make that progress, I will get that vindication. I will get that validation that I am that good. But I mean, you're going to suck. And you're going to suck for a really long time until you start building up your arsenal and you start getting those abilities that make it easier. And even though you have some of these abilities, like at one point you'll get a speedier air dash, or you'll get a transportation ability that will allow you to, like, phase out of in front of a bad guy. And, like, it's a certain distance away from where you teleport, but, you know, you can't always properly time those because, you know, you could use that ability and then morph right back into an oncoming shot that kills you. So, like, even though you have all of these abilities to your arsenal, they're not always going to work 100% of the time. So, you know, your loadout is really important. So the failure and the repetition is what's going to make you better. And I appreciate that as a gamer. So, you know, get ready to have those angry moments. Take your breaks when you need them. Rage poop when you need to, because I took about 3. And just get in the zone for pain and for growth, because they kind of go hand in hand. And Cuphead is a great vehicle for that.
Awesome. I cannot wait. I've been looking forward to this game since it was first announced.
And it's cute as fuck. So, like, you know, and trippy also. Get ready.
Oh, my body's ready. My body's ready. What about you, Zeno?
Well, the main thing I do got to say about that is the sound that they went through. The fact that they actually got a band together to play all the music in that game is phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that game sounds terrific.
It's so whimsical, too. Like, you realize that this is, like, this cute world, but you realize just how not cute and how not safe it is. Because, like, everybody you encounter is trying to hurt you, even though they're all smiling in your face. Which is a great, you know, sub-comment to talk about reality today. But hey, you know what? Not today. I won't address that today.
Not today. Not today. Not today.
But as far as what I've been up to, I do want to highlight one thing. Granted, it's already passed and you can't get into it now, but it may be back eventually. As some know, I'm a bit of a MOBA player from time to time, since it's usually free and challenging. You know, of course, anything that has versus has got a hostile part because it's the internet, but, you know, whatever. But recently they decided to augment some of the lore that they've done for a skin set that they designed for some of the female heroes called the Star Guardians. This is why I wanted to touch with your knowledge on Sailor Moon, because they've written a whole fiction behind it, even expanded into, like, old teams like the Sailor Moon show did. And they made a 5-on environment little
series of game modes to get some free swag and stuff in the game, which I thought was pretty well done. Even wrote up like a small comic story and everything else to support it. It's like, oh, wow, like competent writing and stuff, at least for what I expect out of Riot Games. But yeah, it was all on their website, you know, the whole mythos, especially finding a way to have the two Yordles in here, Poppy and, geez, I'm blanking on the other one now. Lulu, making them guardians too, even though they're tiny. But nevertheless, the game mode was surprisingly fun. I even watched some video of some of the pros playing it, and they were struggling. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I wanted to give the Riot a shout out for actually doing something decent with their stuff instead of abandoning lore altogether for these games and actually do some work on it.
I give them credit because, let's face it, Riot has just been making cash hand over fist for a while now. Mm. And it's really easy when you have a cash cow to move away from your lore. The biggest complaint that people had about D1 was all the lore was hard to find because it wasn't in the game. It was all in Grimoire cards and TLDR. Like, nobody had time for that.
Yeah, Riot was guilty of that too. They had everything in this journal series they were doing.
So I give them credit, you know, to your point, to actually stop and take some time to focus on that, because I don't care how gorgeous your game is. I don't care how balanced your mechanics are. If you don't have a story, if you don't have a reason for me to want to align or completely hate a character, or you don't give me any kind of motive to want to progress through something or go on a journey in some way with the characters in your game, I'm not going to play your game.
Yep, yep.
I'm not going to put coin down on your game.
Yep, they started doing that a lot more with the new ones, the newer champions that come out. But nevertheless, I do appreciate them actually trying to get some stuff together. It made the game a little bit more fun and gave me a reason to play for a while. And I'll leave it at that. I mean, it's still League of Legends. So unless you're into that kind of thing, then you either love it or you don't. So there it is.
Sometimes I pop into League.
See, the other thing I want to talk about. Oh, yeah. The anime that I've been touching on.
Yeah.
It's like, anime and me go way back to around when they just started getting popular. And what was that? The early 90s?
Yeah. Early 90s in the U.S.
Yeah. It's, of course, I saw it beforehand, but I didn't know it was anime because, you know, Harmony Gold. The evil empire that it is. But, so I started and finished it, just recently finished its runs, which now should be completely free if you want to watch it on Crunchyroll. A little anime called Knights and Magic. As some folks know, I am a mecha head when it comes to my anime. If the show's done right, I'll watch it all the way through. I don't care how bad the rest of the plot is. I want to see my giant robots. You know, that's what I'm here for. Give me my robots. And this show did it in a way I was very surprised, because it's the way I always go about this stuff in my head. They start out with a main character. They don't really get into his backstory too much because it gets rewritten. He's like a 30-something senior programmer at a software firm. His entire company looks up to him because he's a god with the keyboard. And he saves somebody and gets hit by a car. But right after that, an angel sits in front of an angel and, surprisingly, in a decent mood about it, because, you know, I'm already dead. He takes it pretty well. And they accidentally killed him before he was supposed to go. So it's like, all right, we'll cut you a deal. We'll reincarnate you and we'll put you in a world that more suits your tastes, if you will. So it's like, where would you like to go? And he basically just, as long as he can keep doing his hobby, which is Gunpla, you know, those Gundam figures and stuff that he builds, he's fine. He doesn't really care. And because he's so good natured, they give him a little bonus and make him naturally apt for wherever he's going. So he'll have a natural talent. He'll be, you know, like he can pick up a guitar and play it type of stuff. He lucked out extremely well. So he gets reborn as Ernesti Echevalier, son of one of the king's lords. And come once he turns 3 or 4, realizes he knows magic like the back of his hand, and he kept some of the know-how from when he was in his previous life. They fast forward a bit, and by the time he's 10, he pretty much knows his way around magic like it's the back of his hand, and realizes one day that they have mecha here. It's magic powered mecha, but it's still mecha nonetheless. So he starts his lifelong ambition of building his own giant robot.
Aww.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I love the way they set this up because once he realizes that the way magic works here is just like a computer program, he goes nuts. He's doing stuff nobody has ever seen because they've never had to pick up code. They don't know C++. How the hell are they going to do this? And a little 10-year-old kid is figuring out. And, of course, he's applying all his know-how from designing games and stuff. Like, they're still using magic wands to cast spells. You can do it in the mecha, too, but you have to swap weapons. And this guy's an engineer, naturally. So he's devising all new ways to do this stuff and blowing people's minds. Instead of a wand, he makes a gun and uses that instead because you can aim it better. You know, just actually applying engineering to everything that he's doing. It's phenomenal. He goes in front of the court. The court that maintains all the weapons in the Capitol are like, this kid's an upstart, but he just wants to design. And he actually sees some of the, like the guy who's in charge of the academy. He's like an 89-year-old dude, all crotchety and shrunken type thing. But after a while, he realizes he used to be the same way, and they start talking about the designs themselves, and they start partnering up. It's almost like this whole show is a mecha hero show, but it's based from the designers and the engineers, not the pilots.
That's really interesting because for a couple of reasons. One, I think like that's the core setup here of dying before your time and being sent to another world. It's a running mechanic that I've seen in a few anime over the last year.
You know? Yeah, it's very in vogue, yeah. In fact, there's another anime I was watching that has the same trope.
I was watching In Another World with my smartphone.
That's the other one I was watching.
That has the same thing, and before that it was Konosuba that had the same setup, you know, dying before time and being sent someplace by a deity, but with your knowledge of going to that other world. And ReZero did the same thing.
I was just about to bring up the Re's, like the Re-Life, the ReZero. I think we're dealing with a lot of jumping through time or being stuck in a time loop or reincarnation with, you know, prior knowledge. Like, they're really working on that whole, that aspect. It's kind of neat.
Because it's an interesting mechanic to use because you are, in many places, either sent to a time that is in the future, but at the same time is still in the past. You know, you go to a 21-something, but in that particular universe, everything is still feudal. And so the knowledge that you have of the advanced technology or magic or whatever, you know, gives you an advantage, but can also be a disadvantage because you don't want to show all your cards. So there's a lot that you can do story-wise and moving people around-wise. From the mecha perspective, it's very interesting to me to have a series where you're matching magic and science. And to do it from the perspective of basically the science expert as opposed to the mythical magical side, that is really interesting, and I haven't seen that before. And in all honesty, I've seen this anime in Crunchyroll, and I skipped over it a few times because the artwork and the description, one, the description doesn't do it justice based off of everything that you just shared with us, you know, because it just kind of read like another mecha in a feudal time type anime, and I wasn't really about that right now. I was like, you know, because I just come off of a big mecha run. I had rerun through Evangelion. I had run through Line Barrels of Iron recently. And so I was like, I'm kind of good on just the straight up mecha with a good guy type thing. But this actually sounds very different, and that there are some comical moments in it as well that probably come up, being, you know, this kid that is the upstart as opposed to, you know, an established authoritarian having the drive to be like, no, we're actually going to build these machines this way, and we're going to put these things in it, and I know it seems crazy, but just trust me, because it's going to work, and it's going to be amazing.
As Zeno was talking about this whole setup of these two characters, you know, this young upstart and, like, this, like, seasoned old crotchety man, two different, very, very different visuals popped in my head. One, I got a picture of the young kid and the old man from Up, and then I also, on the Broadway side, thought Hamilton. Here's this cocky upstart kid who is thinking way beyond where everybody else is at. And then Washington being like, oh my God, he's got so much drive, and I was very much like that. I'm going to take him under my wing, and, like, we're gonna figure out this perfect stranger's business. And boom, here's this beautiful mess of a situation being exactly what that world needs. And I was like, holy shit, it's like a Mecca Hamilton. Hell yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, there's ready. A lot of design jousting in this show. It's like you'll see one thing and then they'll accelerate like a week or so and already have a rebuttal for that tactic. And it literally it's as if you saw engineers fighting from their desks, designing stuff and then just visually everything out, you know, sort of like the way La Lucha the Rebellion flowed as far as the battles themselves. That has a lot of the same feel to it.
Panda still hasn't watched that.
I haven't watched it yet.
You need to get on it, girlfriend, because that show is awesome.
That's what I said last week.
I think you said that 2 weeks ago, actually. But, yeah. I also got a weird thought of, like, Death Note when Light's, like, riding with, like, his bag and, like, it's scratching and it's, like, all high energy even though the action itself isn't supposed to be that dramatic, but they're over-dramatizing it for, you know, for viewership, and that's what I'm envisioning in my head. It's like, here's my blueprint. Yeah, we could do this. Or, we could do that. And, like, I'm gonna watch this. This deserves a perusal for sure.
Ditto.
And then the other show that you mentioned there, was it In Another World with My Smartphone? It's all right. It's just a bit too tropey for me.
It is tropey, but yeah, I think it's tropey by design. Tropey. Yeah.
It's another harem anime where the protagonist is weak against females. I did watch one where the protagonist was strong against females, and that was hilarious because he didn't shudder. He'd act like a normal dude would. So I did actually like that one because some girls wasn't ready for that. So,
no.
And then I started watching another anime called Gamers.
Okay.
With the
Gamers
exclamation
I'm not
point.
Familiar with.
It's based around a gaming club in a Japanese high school. You know, it starts with the protagonist who, granted, he's in school, so he's not a hikikomori yet, but, you know, he just spends all day playing social games, and the Bijin Hime of the school is secretly a gamer and asks him to join the gamers club, and, you know, the entire school populace is like, why the hell are they talking? And then later on, you're introduced to a cute couple who one is a former geek who's kind of gotten his cool on, and the Klingon girlfriend that he's got. And they go into their story, and then they start crossing over, and it turns into so much relationship geometry. It's ridiculous. It's like, I thought this was a thing about games, and that's just the overshadow. It's really a love day in the life kind of drama thing. So
love is a game, too, you know.
So that's
wow.
A war.
I'm just saying, right, love's a battlefield, love is a game, there are players, you know, like, there's a lot of ways you could loosely, and I mean very
but
loosely,
but I don't
want to
be a player, I just crush a lot.
I mean, the show is fine, it's just not my cup of tea, but, I mean, it's the whole thing about, I saw this also in an unrelated show on Netflix called Terrace House, which is just like six or seven young adult Japanese folks sharing a house, literally. Sort of like the real world. And of course, you have the same awkwardness towards each other there, too. So I guess it's just cultural thing. But
Well,
that kind of gets on my nerves. Because the whole thing about all these shows, when you get into this type of thing, is lack of communication. That's the whole reason the whole situation exists. And if somebody would just speak the hell up, everything would be fine.
But that's requiring everybody to be adults, and nobody wants to be adults.
Well, I mean, I don't even think it's a matter of that in terms of what's happening in that show, which I actually saw that skit on my Netflix, and I was like, I am kind of intrigued by this. Because, yeah, you've got your subtypes of people who all come from different areas of life where, you know, some of them are far more formal, some are informal, and, you know, and never the two ever meet. So here are these strangers in a house where they all have these preconceived notions of how you interact in a space, and now they all have to kind of come together and figure out how they're going to operate in this awkward situation. So, like, that is intriguing to me. Like, people are just so cool. Like, if I could just study people, I would do that. I mean, I kind of do that already, but if I could get paid to do that, hell yeah.
But there is a profession like that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't study it. I didn't know what it was when I was like 8. And if I had known then, I'd be like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to study people for the rest of my life. But
it's called sociology for those who aren't aware.
So, like, hell yeah. So, like, it's like, and across, you know, across societies and different cultures, like, oh my God, so much knowledge. My face is melting. I can't. It's like looking directly at the at the Ark of the Covenant and just melt face, whatever.
I got one more for you guys.
Yes.
This is now, I'm pretty sure this series is now dead. Granted, the two shows that they got done did finish, so there's a hard end to it, but they left it open for continuation, you know, sort of like a volume three should they want to. But it's based off of a social game that was on iOS, but it got killed in 2014. But I came across it and watched it through, and the animation quality was tremendous. So I watched it all the way through. It actually was a pretty decent tale called Shingeki no Bahamut. Have you guys by chance heard of this?
I have not.
Because it's a little bit older. It's around 2014. But I found it very enjoyable. All around a two characters. One named Favaro, who's sort of a bounty hunter, and his rival Kaiser, who is a fallen knight who's become a bounty hunter trying to build his house back up. If anybody's familiar with gaming...
Wait, I think I know it by its English name.
Oh, Rage, yeah, the Rage of Bahamut. Yeah.
I watched the Jesus out of it, and I will tell you, I agree with you 100%. If you have not watched it, you need to watch it. The animation is absolutely gorgeous.
Didn't you tell me to watch this around the same time me to watch Lion Barrels of Iron?
I did. As a matter of fact, I did.
I think in tandem, you were like, you need to watch both of these simultaneously now.
Right. And you didn't.
And I didn't. I still haven't.
But you really should, because the story between the two of them is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not quite a buddy cop scenario, because there's other protagonists involved, but it's all very well fleshed out. They all work well together, especially Bacchus being the head of the bounty hunter clan, who's a descended god and always drunk, of course, because he's Bacchus. But he had a pet duck that speaks, so, you know, gotta love that.
Hey.
That one, the ending was very satisfying. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I say, oh, wait, there's a season two, which picks up 10 years after that one ends. And that one is good, too. And that one just finished its run. Later on, the second series adds an extra character, Lena, who's a dragonkin. And apparently they've been in the story the whole time. They just didn't show up too much in the first one. But her father dies when Bahamut shows up in the first one. And now she's trying to venture out, since her father is no longer there, to help her family out. So she's in the capital. And of course, she's running around like she's She-Hulk, because she's part dragon and can lift all this stuff. You know, people like her so much, they're throwing the vendors are throwing her lunch in the streets and stuff. You know, she's beloved by everybody, but they don't know she's a dragon. And of course, the whole Bahamut stuff comes up again. And it turns out she is Favaro's apprentice. He threw her an apprenticeship trying to shake her off. So she's now apprenticed to it, which is kind of funny. And their dynamic is very good. The characters are very well fleshed out. I'm not sure where you can see it now. I went through some of my other streaming websites to see it. Yeah, the new one is just as good as the first one. But since now the game is defunct, I don't think we'll be getting another one anytime soon.
That is sad. But if you have a chance to see either the first season and the second season, you really should, because it is some really good writing. I think a lot of times when it comes to action anime and adventure anime, you get episodes that are just the plot movers, and everything in between the plot movers feels like filler. There's no point in time in watching Bahamut that you feel like you're watching a filler episode. You don't feel like you're watching just a linking episode or a bunch of linking episodes. There is story and there is character development and there is exploration in every episode.
Yeah, the show's phenomenal. I was so glad I agreed to watch it. And then once I saw the other one, it's like, I got to watch this now, too. There's not enough time in the day. Yeah, but that show's phenomenal.
It really is. All right, so we're coming up on time, guys. I gotta say, this has flown by. Thank you, Zeno, so much for joining us on the show. Is there anything that you want to push, plug, give people your socials where they can find you, if they want to, you know, talk about some OBAs or some other stuff?
I haven't been doing too much lately, but the Twitter is at Xenocore. I managed to get that one, so yeah, didn't have to put no numbers behind it or nothing. Yeah, and I won't mind pimping out Crunchyroll, even though I'm not actually sponsored, because Lord knows I could use it right now. But It's pretty much my main vehicle right now for catching most of the shows. So
Crunchyroll is bae. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here, guys. If you've enjoyed this podcast episode, which I know you have, make sure that you subscribe to our show. You can get it on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also get our show in iTunes on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio on Google Play. You can find us on vognetwork.com or pretty much any fine place that podcasts are aggregated, you can get a hold of our show. So make sure that you subscribe, leave us a review, pimp us to your friends, share us with the world, help us become less of the best kept secret on the internet. That's on you guys, so make it happen. Also, check out our website for great reviews, previews, interviews, and editorials from the entire team that makes up the Land of Esh. You can also find us on Apple News. On your iOS device, just find Electric Sisterhood, search us out, and hit the little plus button so you can add us to your favorites, your For You section, and you can get our reviews and our editorials all day, day, on the go when you're ready to read them. You can also check out, if you enjoy what we do on the site, our social. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Land of Esh. We are on Instagram, putting out all kinds of fun content, including some video stuff, at ESH News, and we are also at ESH News on Twitter. If there's a game that you want us to check out or an anime and you'd like to get our thoughts about it, then make sure that you hit us up on our social or drop us a message on Facebook and say, hey, y'all, check this out. I want to hear about it on a show real soon. And if we do it, we'll give you a shout out so you can get like 5 seconds of fame, which everybody wants some fame. So be famous.
Fame!
If you enjoy our stuff, then please make sure that you check out all the great contributors to the Land of Esh on all their vehicles as well. That includes B3Crew.com and the bi-weekly, for now, No Borders, No Race podcast hosted by our homie, KBD, King Baby Duck. Make sure that you bookmark their site, check out their show, subscribe as well. Wednesdays, our homie, HamsterMan2049, is streaming games live on Twitch at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can catch the link on our site, you can catch the link on our Facebook page, and across our socials. Be sure to join in, check him out. He's playing old games and new, everything from the NES system and up. You can join him in chat, be part of the whole experience live. Our homie, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review, my favorite recap and review show on YouTube. Make sure that you find them, you subscribe to them, click that notification button so you can see when new videos are coming out. If you enjoyed Westworld at all, his Westworld recaps are my favorite thing on the internet. So make sure that you check him out and the website, issuesprogram.com. Our homies over at nerdcrave.com as well, talking about all the stuff nerds crave, from video games and anime, manga, comic books. If it's nerdy, they're talking about it over at nerdcrave.com. They've been on hiatus, but they're coming back soon, real strong. So make sure that you bookmark their site as well as all of our sites. Hit us up across our socials and just be part of the conversation in the community, because we do this for you as much as we do it for us. So with that, it's time to sign off. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Xenocorp.
And until next time,
titties.